Okay.
I'm here. Can anybody hear me?
Yep, we can hear you, Angel.
This conference will now be recorded.
All right. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Okay, Maria's logging in right now, so I'm going to go ahead and start. Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's first City Council meeting of 2022, January 3rd. If you'd all please rise. Join me for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing upon this city and wisdom as our city council makes its decisions tonight. Okay, and now if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Heard that Angel Garza is present on the phone call, and Maria Quesada, are you present? Excellent. Thank you, Maria. So with that, all council members are present and on the call. So now I'd like to move to item 1E, which is citizen input. Is there any citizen here tonight who would like to address the fellow city council? Please raise your hand and I'll recognize you. Yes, Dr. Don Burke.
I just have a bit of minutes for you. That's Brian Greer, Lord Zion, is supposed to be delivered this week.
That's wonderful news. Thank you. Terrific. Anyone else tonight? Okay. I'll move to item 2, which is the approval of tonight's agenda.
I have a comment on the agenda. Earlier today, I asked for an item to be taken out of the consent agenda for the week's spring contract. The completion of the week's grant contract. That issue's been resolved for the time being, and I'd like to have it put back in the consent agenda.
Okay, you want to make that motion then?
Make that a motion. Move the week's grant contract completion into the consent agenda.
I'll second that.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Let's move to the consent agenda, item 3.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And as aye. Thank you. As we move to our current business, first item on the agenda is the oath of office, and our city clerk, Tanya, is going to administer the oath of office to myself and three council members, Gina, John, and Corey. So do you want us to come down?
I state your name.
I, Laura Wells.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support the Constitution and laws of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution and laws of the United States.
And the Organic Act and laws of the State of Washington.
And the Organic Act and laws of the State of Washington.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
Perform and discharge the duties.
Perform and discharge the duties
of the office of City of Belleville in City Position.
Of the office of City of Belleville.
City of Belleville, Position 1.
According to law, to the best of my ability.
According to law, to the best of my ability.
Congratulations. My pass certificate here, so let's see if we get a picture.
Item in city business is the election of the mayor pro tem. So as you know, when the absence of the mayor pro tem serves and presides over city council meetings and acts in the mayor's behalf. The process is that I'll call for nominations. All nominations should have a second or they die. After all nominations are received, the mayor calls for a vote. And if there's not a majority vote, the number of nominations are reduced by either a runoff between the top two or elimination of the individual receiving the least number of votes. The nominations must include a term which is set by the council and should be included in the motion to appoint. This term is discretionary by council vote. So at this time, I'll open the nominations for mayor pro tem.
I'll make the motion to nominate Councilman John Erickson for a term of 1 year.
Second. Okay, so we have a motion made and seconded to nominate John Erickson as the mayor pro tem. Is there any further nominations?
I'd like to nominate Councilwoman Gina for mayor pro tem.
Okay, is there a second?
Yeah, I think we'll guard the second day.
Okay, we have two candidates. Is there any further nominations for mayor pro tem? Hearing none, I'll close the nominations. And now, those voting for Councilman John Erickson, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
So that would be Mark Snyder, John Erickson, John Lawless, and Corey Everett. Okay, that's four. So that's enough to elect John Erickson. John Erickson now will serve as our mayor pro tem. Now let's move to item 4C, which is the Othello Food Makers Business Incubator final report. And Talia Lemus, our grant writer, is going to introduce the consultant, Mary Bosch of Marketing.
Yeah, so Council, we have Mary Bosch online at the moment. She's from Marketect out of Portland, Idaho, and then Portland, Oregon, sorry. And then we also have Danielle Weaver from CSHQA out of Boise. And I just really wanted to share our appreciation in working with both Mary and Danielle on this project. They have done an outstanding job. And this wouldn't have been possible without the CURB grant that we received for $50,000, and they have been tremendous at working with us in making sure that all of the requirements are met on that grant. We started this project back in 2018, and it also was, you know, stopped and paused in 2020 once the pandemic started, but we hit the ground running back in 2021 in January around this time. And thankfully now we are all complete. And so I just want to introduce Mary and Danielle as they present our feasibility study and the conclusion of their findings. Thank you.
Okay, Mary, Danielle, I think we'll give you the screen.
Thank you, thank you. Okay, oh, very good. I do, you do have a presentation. Partners, and of course, looking at potential
supply and demand for additional food service businesses. And then moving towards a mix of mixes. So we did, as I mentioned back in June, interview rest of folks, local East, local council members for all the council at the time. And then, of course, many partners and professionals who would be helping guide this process going forward into implementation, particularly around funding, like USDA would be a strong partner there. Then we look at case studies of comparable venues, mixed-use endeavors that were food-oriented. One right in your backyard or relatively close is Blue Mountain Station, which is a really terrific model for a food destination that includes an element of entrepreneurial development as well as retail. So our entrepreneur outreach, the list of entrepreneurs developed through many of these conversations, focused on individuals who were already in business or ones that were envisioning starting a business in the near. And so we had a series of interview questions to try to guide the interest, to engage the interest in this facility and participating in this facility. This is a high level summary of findings of that work. Really excellent, good interest in the commercial kitchen, a cooperative retail marketplace where people could share the products that they were developing. It was under one roof, which could have been, as we developed in the first concept, a separate retail of retail spaces in the facility. There's also very good interest in spaces for our individual vendors, as well as the cooperative vendor space and the community hall event space. But we have nothing but enthusiastic response to this vision and a lot of encouragement to keep moving forward. That research not only gave us good grounding, good data, but the confidence to develop some clear working assumptions about what we're trying to accomplish and how the concept would be developed, guided by the values that the community has, and of course the community culture, which is agrarian and the state economy, which really dovetails nicely with a food marketplace destination. So the second part of our work was evaluating the Avista property, which was slated to have been donated to the city for this project. Danielle and the architect and the engineer on the project created an excellent assessment of this site, as well as some preliminary drawings for land to try to accommodate all of the mix of uses that the community was interested in related to creating a successful venue. And that report in its entirety appears in the document as a subset of the greater information. I'm not going to dwell on the Avista property, but should that ever become available again for its leasing purpose, there's some excellent grounding information and good conclusions that came out of the technical analysis. So it's all there. Well, I think it was about a year ago, and Mayor, correct me if I'm wrong, a year ago when we learned that Avista wasn't ready to make that property available quite as quickly as we hoped. And it made the most sense to put that option aside, despite all the work that has just been completed around the property and evaluation and really taking that site to heart as the location for the food destination. So we took a bit of a pause last winter. I'm going to say it was 6 weeks or so. And city staff really began looking around at other properties in that would be candidates for this facility. And part of that discovery process was to look at candidate sites where a property would not have to be purchased and add to the cost and the length of time that it would take to develop this project. And so that's how Lions Park became one of the key sites that under evaluation, in part because it's a central focus point for the community and has terrific activity, consumer activity, the various as well as, of course, residents of the community. And also has some good options in terms of some open space that would align well with bringing farmers market back to Lions Park, as well as creating a visible destination. So when we came to town in June for about a 3-day site visit, and it was again a very collaborative approach with city staff, we evaluated some of the sites in the park and then moved quickly to consider the mix of uses and to site planning questions as well as you know, what it would take to implement this project at the Lions Park. I will say that in terms of the uses, we really, the issue on the left is where we began, where we landed, I should say, after we did the market research with entrepreneurs and community leaders, as well as the data. And we also, as we moved into this kind of rethinking those uses, it became clear that the commercial kitchen was going to be a significant undertaking all by itself. And pork really valued and strong. Part of our site visit was looking at some of the existing commercial kitchens in the community and making the decision to separate that part of this project out from the other mix of uses, including the farmer's market and food trucks, and then also the community event center. I do want to add that during the spring of last year, Leah spearheaded research, consumer research, you know, intercept surveys with folks during opening day of baseball and Little League season. Tremendous response, not only in terms of the numbers, but also just sort of validating the uses. Excuse me, that you see on the right. Danielle, you want to pick up here?
Thank you, Mary. Once we went through the process of discovering what the amenities and different functions would be in the building, then our next step was to go through the concept design phase. And this phase really studies how we can fit all of those amenities into a single development, and then also give you a sense of what it'll feel like if you were to, go to this site. And so we're not necessarily trying to give you a final design or tell you that it has to look like this and we have to have that, but I want you to really get a sense of, you know, what it takes to fit all of these amenities into one development, and then, you know, what it would feel like when you go there. And, you know, we can do these amenities, really can go anywhere. They can, they might morph a little bit depending on exactly where they were in town. They could go anywhere, but the look of the building would actually change probably quite a bit depending on where, you know, the site was. So you, as you see in this first slide, that's the Avista building, and that was the first building that we went through a design concept phase. And it was, you know, obviously it's an existing building, so we have that to work with. We felt that the same principles to that building, but we had to make that work with that existing building. And then as we went to the Lions Park, and I think, well, Mary, you might have to, I can't actually switch pages. There we go. Thank you. When we looked at the Lions Park, we had a much broader area to work with, and it was a park setting. So there was a lot of kind of the feel that the concept of, you know, what you would feel like when you went there would change quite a bit because of, you know, less urban feel, park-like feel. And in addition, the park is slated to have a number of, and it's already gone through some of them, a number of different renovations throughout the park. So we took that into consideration as well. For the site placement, as well as, you know, just views and, you know, what the building would actually could look like. So what you see here is the development that we were looking at, and it encompasses all the things that we previously talked about, an event center that can house, you know, a number of events year-round. It offers views on both sides up to the park. We also have a large plaza out front along Pine Street that houses at least four permanent food vendors, and also has room up front for mobile vendors as well, and there's outdoor seating. And you'll see in some other views we have additional outdoor seating on the side, which allows a large gathering space for the 4th of July ceremonies. And then on the other side of the building is the farmer's market. And we looked at you know, a number of different ways to kind of incorporate shade in and inclement weather so that this farmer's market, if not year-round, can operate for a long period of time. We looked at ways to do some additional shading and sheltering, as well as it was very important that we had views into the building from the outside so that one can see the activity on the inside, and if you're on the inside, you can see the activity on the outside, and have that indoor-outdoor connection to the plaza and the events going on inside the building. To the next slide. And so, in an overview of what we looked at, the building is about 5,200 square feet, and that includes a 4,800 square foot dividable event space, and then it also has a small mezzanine above that can be used for additional seating. That provides good views out to the park, since right next to the building actually kind of is a rise in the elevation to go up to the tennis court. And we can, per code, accommodate in the event center at least 320 people. Obviously, that's the maximum you could have as many people as you want in there. But the nice thing is that we are looking at dividing the space, so you can have one large event or easily accommodate two smaller events. Access to the site is primarily from Pine Street. It's fairly close to the street to allow for accessible access, as well as the food vendors can get their, and the market vendors can always can get their items to their vending spots fairly easily. And but the many parts of the building open up to the park, so the public has access from many different points into the building. And then some of the kind of key amenities that we talked about are the dividable space. There's a catering kitchen in the back for large events. There's access from all areas in the park. Then we have the room for the farmers market, which we were showing about 11 vendors, but there's plenty of room to expand that, as well as outdoor patio seating, indoor seating, and then a fully glazed wall that opens up for that indoor-outdoor experience. And then we also are really giving this building a lot of flexibility to morph in the future as different amenities become apparent that, you know, they should be included in this development. So it's a very wide open building that could have any number of activities and events, and that's intentional so that you could imagine that space being anything that you would like it to be. And this next slide is a, you know, kind of a floor plan, a little more detailed floor plan of the building. The gray area is the indoor space of the building, which you can see the large event space that can be divided to build the restrooms and the catering kitchen back there. And then we have a large outdoor area. These lighter gray areas represent the walls that open up so that you can have the indoor-outdoor experience. And then on the other side, this blue color represents the farmer's market area and the individual booths, which are approximately the same size as we currently have on this side of the building. And then if we go into phase four, the development operations planning, these are primarily the six elements that were addressed in that phase project. So we'll go into a little more detail on each of those different concepts. But one of the things that we looked at once we got done with the concept design was, what, you know, what was this going to cost? So we went through a fairly extensive cost estimate to figure that out, and we have a range there because we wanted to allow for escalation over time, knowing that this development isn't happening today. Hopefully it happens in the near future, but if it doesn't happen for 5, 6, 7 years down the road, we accommodated or accounted for that escalation. And so that's why you see such a large range. But we did include in these numbers everything from the site development costs, which are, you know, the preparation, the utilities, improvements, all the way to the building costs, and then each of the four individual permanent food vendors, into their truck. It has its category in there, and it comes kind of big with, you know, kitchen and some of the base mechanical that we need to get up and running.
Thanks, Danielle. So the construction budget is one component of the budgeting that you see documented in the report. Then the operating budget is a separate budget there. We didn't quite get to a program budget, which might include details around how to do entrepreneurial training with through a commercial kitchen or in other, in general, business planning training with entrepreneurs who would participate. So before I get to the operating budget, I just wanted to say that on our team we had Jennifer Groff with Rural Development Initiative, who is a development manager. So she well accredited and helps communities develop funding plans for their community-based projects. And Jennifer helped outline sort of the steps involved in the funding process, where to begin, for example, with case, you know, a really strong case statement, and then also kind of serves as our reality check for, you know, here's how you begin. You don't begin by knocking on the door of Microsoft, for example, but you begin by really assembling your lead gifts for the project. And, you know, in this case, either with the Avista site or Lions Park or another site, a key lead gift is going to be ideally the property, which would be contributed to the overall cost of the project or be part of that total picture of giving and related to expenses of getting that off the ground. And there, of course, could be other large gifts, whether it's from a private corporation or a benefactor. It's about going to total about 40 to 50% of the overall funding for the development phase, with grant funding coming in at about 40-15%, following the lead gift, so the commitment of lead donors is critical to being able to go to the next stage, and that is really managing that, developing and managing a pipeline of grant opportunities and funder relationships. So we began in that section of the operating plan to outline the best candidate sources, federal, state, and local. And of course, that would be public funding as well as private grant funding. And then lastly, a community campaign around the project, which would begin really at any time after after the case statement is formulated and after there is a strong commitment to the vision. Fund development, I'm sure you all are aware, is not a linear process, and managing that endeavor will take the leadership, public and private, and an overall campaign to develop those funding streams, as well as just to stay on track. So start to finish, it could be up to 2 years. We also developed a preliminary marketing strategy for aspects of the market center, including looking at who the users would be for the community event facility, of course for the farmers market, and also for the food truck. And you know how to reach them, and just the best way to get the message out there about what this destination is, and to generate excitement, and of course, bottom line, to get the customers to come to the venue and help us with our operations budget. So the operating cost, both with construction or development and operations, will to break even without creating another drag on the city or anybody else's budget. The operating budget is fairly slim down, but very much based on realistic facts that we gathered from other facilities similar to what we're proposing here. And research done on within the community on, for example, where are other event locations, what are the rates charged, what is the usage, et cetera. And all of that went into kind of creating a pretty realistic snapshot of what can be expected in terms of revenue and expenses, looking at a total budget of about $119,000 a year in expenses and revenue. And that would be certainly some economies of scale, sharing some aspects of city staff or city infrastructure, and by that I mean be like the building maintenance folks. It didn't mean that we did not add staff here. I believe the total staffing ended up, in addition to existing, was about 1.5 FTE, just for maintenance and also aspects of managing and marketing the facility. So more details you can see in that part of the written plan. I think bottom line is every aspect of the work that we undertook for this project While the details will change as the schedule shifts around, you've got a template in hand. You have two things I think are critically valuable for moving forward. One is a really thorough feasibility study that every funder wants to see. It's like, what does a banker want when you come and ask for money? They want to see the business plan. And this is a really good good content for what you're trying to achieve, the approach that you'll take, and the buy-in that the community has, as well as preliminary budgeting. And secondly, each aspect of this work, we believe are templates that if the inputs change, the content changes, and as time goes on, numbers change, you can still go back to kind of the overarching outline and approach and turn the wheel again. So we hope that that you will see that as a valuable tool for moving forward, whether it's next month or a year from now. And I would like to just again acknowledge that the success of this work was completely collaborative, and we so appreciate the city's active participation as well as the research process itself, really demonstrating the number of collaborators and partners, be they funders or just, you know, model projects out there in other communities. People are interested in helping a fellow team, and that is so valuable. So we will stop talking and look forward to questions.
Thank you, Mary. Very nice. City Council, do you have any questions or comments you want to make? Mary, I just want to thank you, that, and Danielle, it's been a wonderful process that you walked us through and have helped us. I do have just a couple of quick statements. I think when we first started this project, when John and Gina and I were sitting in the State Director of Agriculture's office, and we decided we wanted to look into a farmer's market. Throughout this process, I think we've observed that a farmer's market alone is not feasible unless you're just going to, you know, with 10, maybe 10 weeks of the year, one day, several hours a week, it's just not feasible to build a building just for that. And so what your process has helped us walk through is what are some of the other things that we can do? And that's, we've explored business incubator, public event center. And so I still, you know, I thank you, Mary and Danielle, that you know, part of this process is you were to help us walk through this, look at what we could do, and also give us a concept design. And I think you've done that extremely well for the city and the council. And I believe that as we, you know, begin to fine-tune this with the city council and look at this further, we couldn't have gotten this far without you. So we just want to thank you and let you know that we appreciate this effort, and we'll continue on looking to cite something here in the city of Othello that will benefit the rest of the community. So thank you both.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is the committee assignments. And These are the city council committees that we use to preliminary discuss and explore issues and then bring back to the council. It's a planning process, it's a collaborative process. And so I guess tonight, I just want to open it up. Is there anybody that doesn't want to continue in any capacity on there, in any of the committees that they're on? I think I'm going to start there.
Yeah, this is Angel. I'd like to get off the paid if I can, then.
The paid committee?
Am I on?
Yes, we can hear you. So you want to get off the paid committee?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
And John Erickson volunteers. And Maria, you had indicated that you were interested in getting off the Left One board, the Adams County Disability Board. Is that correct?
Yes, please.
Okay. Is there anyone else? Okay. It says here the process is recommendation made by the mayor to the commissioner, so I got to write them a letter, and then they will actually make the appointment. I'll let them know, I'll give them your name, and you should receive that. And we'll let you know that there's not a long list wanting to sit on this board, so I know that they're anxious to have a meeting here soon, so they'll be in contact. Is there anybody else is there a committee that you want to get off? Not, I'm going to assume you want to stay on the committees you're on.
Just a correction there, the Chamber of Commerce representation, it's not me anymore. I think that Tommy knows that, but I did resign from that.
Thank you.
And I won't stay with that.
Okay. I think Talia is now on the board, and although she's not a council member, is there any objection to having Talia serve as the city's representative? Okay. All right, the rest of them are things like Mosquito Control Board. Tanya's highlighted them. Terry Thompson on the Civil Service Commission, and some others that we're going to have to do some development work and contacting some people. But with that, I think that, Tanya, do you have enough to go on? So we had Everett Cole, his term expires at the end of March. Terry Thompson's expires in April on the civil service. Excuse me? Terry Thompson has. And we need to appoint some people on the Lodging Tax Advisory Committee that are from the community. Tim Taff on the Housing Authority and Jesse Dominguez on the Housing Authority. Their terms expire in April. We just need to see if they want to continue, and I think that's all I have. All right. So now, item 4. E is executive session, potential litigation, and evaluate a complaint against a city official. Kelly, do you have a comment?
Well, I don't have a Not right now. I will at executive session.
Okay. All right. Very good. Like staff, if they wouldn't mind preparing council chambers for executive session, and it's just going to remain the council and Kelly. Sorry, what time is it? 30 minutes. Now you're going to get the right guns first.
Okay, do you want to turn to that song?
Okay, all right. We're back in session here at 7:13 p.m. And we'll move now to item 5, which is our unfinished business. Council, do you have any unfinished business tonight?
Do you have anybody in the waiting room?
Did you guys check?
No one there. There was someone. I just, the shades were drawn. And I thought, oh, you're not inviting Max.
Did you have a chance to talk with Kelly about the proposed amendment to 2.62 or changes that you know?
No, I did not. That was on my thing to do the last meeting. We'll talk to him tonight now. Any other unfinished business, council? Is there any new business, item 6? All right. We'll move to item 7, where the council will also receive the Planning Commission minutes, the Fire Department report, and the Hearings Examiner's 2021 report. And having no further business to come before the council, I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:15.
This conference is no longer.